Thank you. It's always fun to be back at Hidden Creek. Two men, obviously street people, initially were undetected in the crowd, but they began to raise a ruckus. Initially, the shouting was ignored, but then they began to have heckling in the crowd. The ridiculing continued as the shouting of the men continued to escalate. What was it that they were saying? The crowd began initially to think that these men were just a nuisance. But after that, they realized that they were really being discriminated against. They were really being dehumanized as individuals. They really didn't matter. Get out of our way! Shut up! Get out of here! Was probably something like the crowd was saying. But these men were insistent. They wanted the attention of Jesus. Rumors of Jesus may have hit Jericho some weeks ahead, and rumors that he would be coming that way may have hit the city in advance to his coming. Perhaps they had heard that Jesus had healed other people. Maybe even they had some friends who were also disabled, who had actually been healed by Jesus, and the rumor had spread. We don't know exactly what the circumstances were, but what we do know is that these men, as they addressed this traveling teacher, who they called Lord, Son of David, they believed that this man could heal them. And they were insistent that they were going to get his attention as he came to the city. And I love the response of Jesus. It's recorded in Scripture that Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately, they were healed. Repeatedly, God inspired the writers of Scripture to relay incidences where Jesus had compassion, where he addressed the needs that were before him, and he responded out of a heart of compassion, often reaching out to touch people, pausing in the busyness of his schedule to meet the needs of people. He not only had compassion, but out of that deep, heartfelt emotion, he did something about it. He acted on that emotion of compassion. Jesus overflowed with compassion, with love, with mercy. He had eyes to see and a heart to respond. Those are great qualities. Eyes to see and a heart to respond. And those qualities are, in fact, at the very heart of the gospel. And those characteristics are to characterize the followers of Christ. He tried to instill those in the disciples, and then the apostles modeled that. And we, as his followers today, are to exhibit those same characteristics. We are to be viewed by the watching world as people who have compassion and act on that compassion. Jesus has called us to live lives that are filled with compassion and act on that compassion. Lives that respond with love and his transforming power. It's at the heart of the greatest commandment. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is likened to it, "Love your neighbor as yourself." You see, Christ challenged his followers with a radical, expanded understanding of what it really meant to follow God, what it really meant to love God. It wasn't just about rituals or ceremony or even memorizing the scriptures that was a big thing back in that time for the religious leaders. It was far more than that. It captures one's heart and it engages one's hands. That is the true expression of loving God. Jesus went on to instruct his disciples, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. And what were they to do? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out the demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And so the disciples, the apostles, and the early church leaders sought to minister in the power of the Spirit and the character and the power of Jesus. They tried to model what Jesus did. And they understood it was their mission to compassionately care for the needs of those people that they came in touch with. And at the same time, proclaiming the good news of the gospel. Compassionately caring and boldly declaring the message. The last words of Jesus, just before he was taken into the clouds, back to heaven, were, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all over Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the world. Jesus was essentially saying, you will be able to do this. You can do this. You can minister in this way to others when the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. And sure enough, short time after Jesus left, went back to heaven, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came and lived within them. And almost immediately, Peter and John went to the streets. They went to the streets proclaiming that the good news that they just could not contain. And one day it's recorded in Acts chapter 3 that as they were going to the temple, they were confronted by a crippled man. And it's interesting to note that they responded just as they had seen Jesus respond. They reached out and they touched the man, and out of compassion, they healed him. The earliest accounts of the early church as it was developing are recorded for us in Acts. And in chapter 5, it reveals this that was going on. It says that many signs and wonders were regularly being done among the people by through the hands of the apostles. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. They were out there declaring the good news of the resurrected Christ and compassionately healing those that were brought before them. And just as Jesus had said, they could do it. You will have my compassion. You will have my compassionate heart when the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. You will be able to touch others out of compassion and bring transformation to their lives. I want you to restore people. I want you to make them whole again. Historically, the church has not always done the best job balancing, expressing compassion, and declaring truth, demonstrating the love and proclaiming the love of God. It hasn't always found the right balance in doing those two things, which should go together. But that is our calling. That is our mission, to compassionately care and to reach people and to meet their needs and to declare the truth of God, the transforming message of Christ at the same time. The Christian Missionary Alliance is committed to living the command of Christ in both declaring the truth of the gospel and demonstrating the compassion of Christ. I'm grateful to be an ordained pastor within the Christian Missionary Alliance that's currently on loan to Remember New. And I love that Remember New, as an organization, is also committed to demonstrating the compassion of Christ, the outrageous love of Christ, while unpacking the truth of the message of Christ. We're expressing God's love and compassion to rescue children before they're sold or trafficked into a brothel or lost into the sex industry. That's the mission of Remember New. And you here at Hidden Creek, you express compassion and truth all the time as you minister. You are God's agents of demonstrating the mercy of God to those in this community and through your international partners around the world. In China, people are hearing the message of Christ because of your partnerships with the Alliance and with the Chutes. Young pastors are being trained and developed so that they can go out and declare the good news of the gospel and to minister in the compassionate love of Christ. In Bosnia, daily interactions that take place at the community center bring individuals closer to an understanding and decision to follow Christ. Your partnership with the Alliance there and with the team on the ground and Dennis all makes this possible. In Israel, your partnership is so evident, especially as you minister to the team there. Your acts of practical service in the community, as your teams go there and do, what do you need us to do? We're there to serve you, is a great model for demonstrating the love and the compassion of Christ as this people tries to sort out the message of who Jesus is. And here in this community, you live out these same principles. The Source Food Bank, Seeds of Hope Garden, Justice and Mercy Foundation, sharing your facilities with other congregations, other ethnicities, and so much more. You as individuals and as a church have personalized God's call to make disciples of all nations. And you're going about that task in the neighborhoods, in your workplace, and at schools in very creative ways. And you've taken the initiative to engage in creative partnerships to help make that possible in Bosnia, in China, in Israel, and in this community in Olympia. A natural extension of your efforts, especially through Justice and Mercy Foundation, and your heart of compassion to prevent individuals from being swept into the devastation of sexual bondage through sex trafficking and the sex industry has led you to explore what that connection might look like on a global scale. Remember New is that global connection for your church. And we're working with your leadership to help you understand how you can ramp that up, how you can become personally engaged in making a difference in the lives of children who would otherwise be sold or trafficked in places around the world. That's the mission of Remember New. And once you understand, once your head really gets around what is happening in places around the world and the brutality of the child sex slavery, the devastation that it brings to young lives. Your heart cries in compassion, I've got to do something about this. What am I going to do? Let's look at a quick video clip that might challenge us in this way.
One day, I come back from school. I saw the lady talking with my grandmother, and I know that lady saw all my friends, so I know that I will be so.
There were two things he wanted me to do. The first one was to find New and make sure she was going to be okay and help her. And the second one was to those 1 million children a year that were being sold. I think God was asking me to do whatever I could do to stop that from happening.
When the reality of this hits home, that you can personally do something to keep a child from being sold or trafficked in some other place around the world, you can keep a child out of a brothel or out of a sex bar or in some other way being sold into the sex industry. When you understand that you personally can make a difference in that area, I'm sure your soul cries out like mine did, out of a heart of compassion, I'm going to do something about that. Well, Remember New provides you with that kind of an opportunity. An opportunity for you to change the destiny of a life of a child at risk. You see, we intervene in the life of a child before they are sold or trafficked. And we get them to a safe place. We call them homes of refuge. Here's a story of a young gal that was at risk. We'll call her Kim. Kim's mom died when she was just an infant. And her father remarried, and when he remarried, he abandoned Kim. And she went to live with her extended family. That went fine for a little while, but when she became a young teenager, they just could not financially afford to keep her. The bills were too high. They had their own children. They could not care for Kim any longer. They could not financially support her. And so she could not go to school. She could not get an education. She was out on the street. Kim was at great risk at that moment of being sold by an extended family member, or even choosing herself out of desperation for survival to take a job that would not actually be a job, but she'd end up in the back of a restaurant or in a brothel or in a sex bar, deceived by what she thought was an opportunity. That's reality, and that's happening all over the world. Remember New is committed to step in and to intervene in those situations before the child is sold or trafficked, to make sure that that does not happen. And we provide a bright future, hope, in a Christian loving environment for children and teenagers like Kim. We provide hope in this home of refuge, where they experience the love of Jesus 24/7, 365 days a year. We care for them in this extended family setting. We provide education for them. We provide spiritual and emotional nurturing for them. We provide vocational training for them so they'll have a skill as they grow older. We even set aside money for college education if they have that interest and aptitude. All this takes place in our homes of refuge. Remember New now operates 44 homes of refuge scattered throughout 11 countries around the world. We're caring for more than 1,000 children scattered throughout these homes. But here's some really great news. Since 2007, when we opened our first home, 90% of the children who have come to live with us in our homes of refuge have become followers of Christ. They have hope not only for now, and safety not only now, but they have hope and safety for all eternity in Christ. We have been able to show the love of Christ in compassionately caring for them now and boldly declaring the truth of the gospel to them and putting those together as Christ modeled. The mission of Remember New is to end child sex slavery through prevention, getting at these kids before they're sold or trafficked. And the task is huge, but it's not too big for God, and it's not too big for God's followers. But let's pause for a moment and reflect back on what Jesus modeled for his disciples and what he was asking of his followers. And in doing that, let's ask an important question. Am I concerned about people, the issues, the needs around me? Or do I have compassion regarding those matters? There's a difference. If I'm concerned, it might mean that it's a matter of interest to me, that it's important, that maybe I'm worried or even troubled about it. I'm concerned. But if I'm compassionate, that might mean that I'm entering into the very emotion and feeling that along with them, and even to the point of acting kindly towards that situation. Compassion moves to action. Concern moves just to interest. So the question is, as you hear of needs like this in your community, as you hear of needs for children at risk around the world, are you concerned? Or do you have a heart of compassion that moves you to do something about it? The friends of Paul at Philippi were learning what it meant to express compassion as they worked alongside of Paul in ministry. And the book of Philippians is really a letter back to them expressing thanks for partnering with him in ministry. Paul starts off the book by thanking them. He says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Partnership in the gospel. What did he have in mind? What did he see in that relationship that brought joy to his heart when he says, "They are partners with me"? Well, if you read through the book of Philippians, you'll see a number of clues. And that might be a fun exercise for you to do, particularly because of your partnership relationships. But here are a few hints that I pulled out for you for us to take a look at. First of all, there was a deep heart connection between Paul and the followers in Philippi, a deep heart connection. They prayed for Paul. They shared the core beliefs of the gospel. They were true to the gospel. The truth was there along with their compassion. And then we also see a little later that they wrestled with the same struggles that Paul did. They entered into his suffering, it says. They wrestled along with him, served along with him. They received ministry from Paul, but they also went to be with Paul to serve him and to enter into his ministry. So there was a reciprocal relationship going on there. And then we see that they sacrificed financially to meet his needs. This is a pretty good checklist. as you think about your relationship and your partnerships, as you think about them scattered throughout the world, how are you doing in these things? How could you step up in any of these categories? It's a good model for us. It's a good model as you think about ramping up a relationship with Remember New as a potential partner. Babs Mullinex, one of your partners in Israel, expressed it this way. I love what she said. As she was talking about you at Hidden Creek, she says they're represented in person on the field. In fact, Tim's there right now. Tim and Meg both. And they often bring a couple of teams with them to serve us. Listen to this. Hidden Creek is in constant contact with us. We couldn't ask for a better partner. That's a great testimony from one of your partners, isn't it? Couldn't ask for a better partner. Well, God has put on my heart and given me the opportunity to serve with Remember New, to do something about this tragic situation, this crisis around the world of child sex slavery. But we desperately need the followers of Christ in places like this. We desperately need you to come alongside us if we're going to advance. Will you join us in helping to take kids out of harm's way and get them to safe places, to get them to homes of refuge? So how do you do that? What are some practical ways that you could get involved? Well, first of all, join us in crying out to God. Cry out to God about it. This is how Remember New started. It started with a prayer of hearing about New, the young gal that gave part of her testimony in the video. Cry out to God, protect New, and prevent this from happening to any other child. Join us in praying for children at risk around the world. And then I'm asking for your prayers as well as I serve the international staff of Remember New and the children represented by in our homes around the world. I need your prayers. I would invite you to join my prayer team. Secondly, use your gifts. Consider using your gifts to directly help our children at one of our homes. Short-term teams, internships, hands-on job training. Use your profession. Leverage your lifetime of experience to care for, to train, to mentor the kids in our homes. There are opportunities for you to do that, for you to get involved personally with our kids and with our homes. Invest your resources. Ultimately, every child is cared for, and we can keep them in our home because of the generous, compassionate response of people financially. And it's our goal to have 3 sponsor families contributing financially and relationally with every one of our kids. This provides a great extended family relationship and covers all of the expenses, including the vocational training and college education as they grow older. It's a great model and allows everybody to kind of jump in at a level of sponsorship that they are comfortable with. My role with Remember New is completely dependent on people that believe in me and my ministry and join me as part of my prayer team and part of my financial support team. It would be a great blessing if some of you would like to join us in that kind of a journey. Remember New needs people to invest in getting kids to safe places and providing a whole different destiny for them. A destiny that ends in heaven. And we cannot advance without your help. Before you leave, there are opportunities for you to respond. There's a contact card on the back table if you'd like to keep in touch. There are opportunities for you to check what you'd like if you'd like to receive my prayer letter to keep you updated so you can cry out to God with me. If you'd like to cry out to God for my requests that are included in those from time to time. If you'd like to be a child sponsor, there's a notebook back there that has specific children that we're looking to sponsor. So we can have that kind of a conversation. Take time to fill out the card and to have a conversation afterwards. Will you join us? Will you express the love and compassion of Jesus? Will you care for these kids? Do something. Do something. Christ has called us to compassionately, holistically care for the needs of others as we proclaim the message of the gospel. And you're finding creative ways to balance that. Christ has called us to do it in community, which is a great joy that we can do it together as a community of believers. Loving on our partners, praying for our partners, sacrificially giving to support our partners, and giving of ourselves and the gifts that God has built into our lives and allowing those to be expressed. Great opportunities to live out in community. Jesus had eyes to see and a heart to respond out of compassion. Responded to the desperate needs that he saw. And he's calling us to do the same. Loving God, serving God, not only captures the heart, but it engages our hands. I wonder, when you see the needs of others, others right around you, down your block, at work, at school, friends that you have come in contact with, when you hear or see of those needs, do you just kind of ignore them? Or do you do something about them? Are you concerned about them? Or out of compassion, does your heart extend to a response to do something? When you hear from your international partners, when you get their prayer letter or grab a card and you have it at home somewhere and you're reminded of who your partner is, do you take time to acknowledge that letter, that prayer request, and say, I'm praying for such and such that you mentioned? Do you take time to respond to their need and find ways to rally other people around? I wonder, do we just expect others to be the partners? Do we just expect Tim and Meg to be the ones that represent the partnership here? Or are all of us engaged? When you learn of children who could be taken to a safe place, who could be taken out of harm's way if you acted, are you concerned? Or out of a heart of compassion, does it drive you to do something? What does living a life that expresses the love and compassion of Christ look like for you today? How is God prompting you to respond? I'd like for us to take a moment of reflective prayer and allow you to ask that question just between you and God. God, how do you want me to respond out of compassion, out of love, to the needs that I'm aware of here in this community, with our partners, with Remember New? What is it that you want me to do? Take a moment for a reflective prayer, and then I will close in prayer. Lord Jesus, this morning we would ask that you would give us eyes to see those around us, the needs, the issues that you want us to see. I pray that you would give us hearts of compassion, deep felt hearts of compassion that lead us to do something about those needs. Help us to know what you want us to do, how you want us to act. We ask this, Lord, for those right around us here in this community, the many needs, the many different people we come in contact with. Help us to have discernment to know who and how you want us to reach out, who you want us to respond to. Give us discernment as we continue to interact with our international partners, that we would have great wisdom, that we would be great encouragers, that we would model these same characteristics that the church at Philippi exhibited in their partnership. And as we consider the needs of children at risk around the world, help us to know what to do about that, Lord. How would you want us to respond? Give us eyes to see, Lord. Give us a heart of compassion. We ask this because you have told us this is how you want us to live. And we can't do it without you. So we're dependent on your Spirit within us to give us the interest, the power, the motivation to live in this way, to choose to live in this way. In Christ's name, amen.